All right, Alexander, let's cover, let me call it the Mediterranean region, for lack of a better word, because we've got stories coming out of Turkey, we've got stories coming out of Cyprus, we've got a very, very short story coming out of Greece with the foreign minister and some comments he made in relation to Turkey when he was meeting with a high up German official, and we'll get into that story as well. So today you sent me an article about the Turkish economy and what's going on there with Turkey's financial problems, and a lot of it are related to the pandemic. A lot of it we actually reported on before the pandemic that they had issues with the lira, etc. So anyway, get into what's going on with the Turkish economy, and then we'll shift gears into Cyprus.
I mean, briefly, what's happening with the Turkish economy is a long-standing problem that dates all the way back to the way that Erdogan has been running Turkey. Now, he's basically increased levels of prosperity in Turkey considerably and, invested in infrastructure and construction and all of these things. And Turkey has many, assets. It's got some manufacturing, it's got strong agriculture, it's not without resources, but it's based on a credit boom, which is fueled by capital, importing capital, in other words, borrowing. He borrows money and runs a very big deficit, a very, very big trade deficit, a very, very big budget deficit. Turkey is an economy, as I said, that's running on very hot fuel. Now, over the last couple of years, and we see this happen, we saw it all the way back, 2 years ago, that the Turkish lira, the currency, has been getting increasingly unstable as money, hot money, pours in and out of Turkey and then pours out of Turkey as people become very nervous with the kind of things that Erdogan is doing. So the lira crashes. This is the sort of sequence of events. The lira crashes. In order to stabilize it, Erdogan is very reluctant to raise interest rates because he knows if he raises interest rates in Turkey, that's going to cause the rest of the economy to come crashing down because it's built on debt. So what he does is he borrows from his various friends. He borrows from Qatar, which he's very closely aligned with. He's borrowed from the Chinese. He's borrowed to some extent, as it turns out, from the Russians in some forms. And he borrows from some of his European allies. But with him doing this all the time, this debt pile that he's creating is growing. And it turns out that there is a very, very large amount of debt now due to be repaid, around $175 billion as of the end of this year. This is, I get this information, by the way, from the Financial Times. This constant campaign to keep propping up the lira means that Turkey has burnt through its reserves. It doesn't have money to pay all this debt, even though Erdogan has managed to borrow more for his friends in Qatar, and he's managed to borrow more from Britain, which for some reason has given him $10 billion, but it's nowhere near enough. And the pandemic, of course, has made things worse. It's kept tourists away. It means that hotels across Turkey are empty. Tourism is a critically important part of the Turkish economy, as it is of all the East Mediterranean economies. So he's in very, very great difficulties. Now, he's been speaking to the Russians. He's managed to get the Russians to agree to open air bridges to Turkey. I mean, by the way, it's an extraordinary decision on the Russians' part. And I wonder why they've done that, given that the pandemic is certainly not under control in Turkey. But anyway, they have done it. But whatever it is, it simply isn't enough. And one has to ask whether Turkey might be looking at a very critical situation towards the end of this year. Now, Erdogan, whenever he feels that his economic situation is rocky, he doubles down on his various foreign policy adventures in Libya, in Syria, in Iraq, and of course, critically in the East Mediterranean with Greece and Cyprus. So Turkey looking economically increasingly unstable. Erdogan doubling down in the Eastern Mediterranean against Cyprus and Greece. That's
Right, you mean air bridge with Russia, in other words, just getting tourists from Russia
getting
to Turkey.
tourists from Russia back into Turkey. So the fact that Russians are doing that, they, in other words, they're throwing him a lifeline, very reckless thing for the Russians to do. But I mean, I wonder what deals and trade-offs have been done behind the scenes for that to happen.
Yeah, the Russian government is, I mean, my personal opinion on this. I may be wrong. I don't know. I think the Russian government has handled its foreign policy with Turkey in the worst possible way. I mean, I think they're constantly getting played, but that's just my own personal
Well,
opinion on that.
what they're doing is they're overinvesting in somebody who has repeatedly shown that he's willing to double cross them. It seems a very odd way of doing it. I mean, I've discussed this before. I can see some logic to their moves up till now, but there comes a point beyond which, if you continue to give money to someone like Erdogan and he continues to double cross you, well, you start to look like a fool,
Yeah,
given
there
that,
was
given that, as I said, they're opening up. They're sending. I mean, I gather there's been some pressure in Russia because the Black Sea resorts in Russia are now apparently close to crisis because they can't cope with the numbers of Russians there. So they want to sort of decant some of them to Turkey. But the Russians have got the pandemic under control in Russia at last. And now they're going to send their people to Turkey, where they're going to become presumably infected and bring it back. It doesn't seem wise at all.
Seems like a bad move, but
Yeah.
wasn't there a time when Turkey was actually thinking of going to the IMF
Oh yeah, absolutely. But of course, they don't want to
for
do that
bailout?
because what the IMF will do is tell them to impose austerity programs and raise interest rates and rein in their spending and end these foreign adventures that Turkey is engaging in places like Libya and Syria and Iraq. So Erdogan doesn't want to do that at all. He's talked about it at various times. I think more to reassure foreign investors in Turkey. But I don't think it's he's really part of his agenda. What he's trying to do always is leverage his geopolitical cards to get more money to keep the Turkish economy afloat and to keep the lira afloat. Now, up to now, he's managed it, but it's becoming an ever more complicated and difficult balancing act to follow. And sooner or later, one feels the balls are going to come crashing down on him.
Right, like you mean sending migrants into Europe, people
Absolutely,
like
sending
failing Europe to pay
migrants
the
into
money.
Europe, exactly, playing off various people off against each other. So he gets some money from the Russians, he gets some money from the Chinese, he gets some money from the Qataris, he squeezes money out of the European Union, he keeps things going that way. He's been very skilled at doing that, but of course the debt buildup is now getting completely out of control.
Yeah, and countries don't have an appetite to loan money now, not in this pandemic
No.
situation that we find ourselves in. It's
Apart, it seems, from the British, who've just given him £10 billion, which I find most odd, and the Russians, who are letting their tourists go back to a pandemic-infested Turkey,
The
which I also
British gave him
find
10 million. That is,
it seems very odd. I mean, but well, that's what the Financial
well,
Times.
they should focus on trying to get people money and jobs and trying to get through the lockdown is what the British government should be
I
focusing on.
completely, I completely. I mean, admittedly, I mean, it was Bank of England. I gather it was a money swap. But I mean, again, it seems a very odd thing to do, and very strange thing to do. I mean, the US is not apparently going down that road, and unsurprising. And apparently, the Germans are not keen on giving him money either. As I said, as for the British and the Russians, well, all I can say is they can kiss goodbye whatever money they're giving Erdogan, because he's looking increasingly like a black hole.
Yeah, I agree. The optics are so bad that you're loaning money to another country, any country, while your country has just got
Well,
undergone
exactly.
lockdowns and
Well,
there's
exactly.
going to be a
Well,
recession
exactly.
or a
Well,
depression. The
exactly.
optics are
Well,
terrible.
exactly. The optics are terrible. I will say this. I mean, for the Russians, they're doing it by, as I said, letting Russian tourists go back. And there is some apparently popular pressure for this. But it's a very misconceived idea. And again, it's a way of helping Erdogan, which I just don't see the logic of it at all. I think it's an end going to end badly from every conceivable way.
Yeah. All right. Well, Actually, let's talk about Greece then, real quick, very quickly, the Greek foreign minister, because, helping Erdogan is an interesting launching pad for what the Greek foreign minister said. And that is that he is open, Greece is open to dialogue with Turkey, but always in the framework of international law. And this is a quote, in the framework of international law, the international law of the sea, and good neighborly ties. Just a quick note to the Greek foreign minister when he made those statements was meeting with Armin Laschet, the premier of the North Rhine-Westphalia, in Germany's North Rhine-Westphalia, when he made those statements. So, Alexander, what do you make of those comments?
Can I just first of all explain that Armin Laschet is widely expected to be one of the key challengers to one of the key challenges for Merkel's throne when Merkel resigns, and it's quite likely he will be the next chancellor of Germany. So, this is a very important man. So it's what he says in his presence in Germany. It carries traction. Now, again, I think this is most unwise. I mean, it's all very well talking about international law and laws of the sea, but with a person like Erdogan, he pays absolutely no attention to those things. So talking about dialogue with Erdogan, which is what the Greek foreign minister is doing, it seems to me is unwise at this time because Erdogan will say, yeah, fine, I want dialogue. I want it on my terms. So, let's extend, accept that Turkey has these, large maritime claims, and let's negotiate on that basis. Now, I have to say, I do wonder whether this happened because the Greek foreign minister, the Greeks have been on a sort of lobbying exercise across Europe, trying to drum up support. And what they're getting from people like the Germans is, in fact, very lukewarm words, because the Germans, don't like Erdogan very much. In fact, it's known that they don't like him at all. At the same time, they don't really want to quarrel with him. And that they basically told the Greeks, well, we will support you, but you must say that you're prepared to negotiate with Erdogan. And ultimately, our support really doesn't amount to very much. So that's the way it's looking to me. I think personally, it was a mistake again. I think it shows a sign, it's a further sign of how Greece has weakened its diplomatic position. Ultimately, the kind of people the Greeks need to be talking to are not the Germans, not the Europeans, who have consistently failed Greece in all of these issues. It's with countries like the United States and Russia, which have some actual leverage in Ankara with Erdogan. And the Russians have leverage. I mean, we've seen what they've just done. And so do the Americans. The Germans aren't going to pull any coals out of the fires for the Greeks, and the European Union never has done. I mean, France might to some extent, but Germany never will.
Yeah, Greece doesn't understand power politics. It never
No,
has, never will.
no, no,
And they need to go to
no.
where the powers are. That's
Exactly.
Russia, China, and of course, the United States, which is
Correct.
the big dog,
Absolutely.
and the UK. And they need to open up better dialogue with the UK as well.
Absolutely. The Greeks are still fixated on this idea that through being members of the European Union, that gives them some kind of, depth behind them in their confrontation with Turkey. And it doesn't work like that. I mean, that isn't what happens at all. Greece, on the contrary, finds that the Europeans are just not interested in supporting them in that kind of way. And they always end up being pressured to make concessions. And that's what it looks like has happened again. The Germans don't want to really back Greece in this confrontation. So they've put pressure on the Greeks to agree to talks with Erdogan, which will always be on Erdogan's terms.
Yeah. All right. So from Greece, let's switch gears to Cyprus and Russia specifically. And that is the fact that Russia will be scrapping a double taxation deal with Cyprus. Now, we reported on this in April, and none of this was reported on in the Cypriot media. I know because I was there, and they completely ignored this story. And I remember speaking with family and friends and saying, this is a huge development. and it's going to crush the Cypriot economy. No one was talking about it. So now it's August, the dog days of summer, and Cyprus comes clean with this story, and they say that it looks like negotiations have broken down with Russia. There's a small opening for a Lavrov visit, I believe it's September 8th or 9th, where there might be a chance to rekindle the negotiations. But it looks like at this very moment, Russia has said, we're not going to negotiate with you anymore, and they're going to bring back the money that has been deposited in the Cyprus accounts. And, well, it's going to really hurt Cyprus. It was a 2% tax. It used to be a 2%, and now it's going to be, and Russia wanted a 15%. You can get into the details, Alexander. You know them very, very well. But a quick note, there is some back and forth as to who's at fault. The Russians say that the Cypriots were at fault because they kept on delaying, and they actually went to Russia. They said, no, let's not negotiate on this day. Let's negotiate later in August. So Cyprus actually had demands on Russia, which is kind of strange for Cyprus to demand things out of Russia. The Cypriots are saying, no, it's the Russians' fault because they just kept on. They weren't giving us any signals as to what they're looking for, and they're the ones that kept on delaying. Anyway, we have a lot of he said, she said kind of stuff going on. But the bottom line is the Russians are pulling out of the taxation treaty with Cyprus.
That's exactly right. Now, what happened? And this is one of the most extraordinary things, because the Cypriots just weren't listening to what the Russians were saying. It's exactly what you said. Now, Putin, in his State of the Nation address back in January, he made it absolutely clear as crystal that the Russians wanted to end the double taxation treaty with Cyprus, that they did not want to see Cyprus any longer as a tax haven. Putin's agenda for years has been to build up Russia's domestic financial institutions, to build up the stock market in Russia, to get people to keep their money in Russia, to tax Russian money in Russia, not to have people putting their money offshore in places like Cyprus and in other places. Now, he can make that completely clear. And so it's been very strange to me that people the government of Cyprus and the financial community in Cyprus had their heads in the sand about this. They seem to have assumed that because they were doing lots of good deals for their Russian clients, which, by the way, they were. I mean, a lot of private Russian clients were very happy with the services they were getting in Cyprus, that this was somehow going to work out, that the Russians were going to go on and stay there. And they just weren't looking and listening to what was coming out of the Kremlin. And now, of course, they've been burned. But to add to everything else, and I think this is the other issue, is that, of course, Cyprus and Greece, and we've discussed this before, have played a very, very foolish game with Russia. There was the debacle over the Ukrainian church, and I think this was just still not understood how far, how angry the Russians were over that, how sensitive an issue it is for them. And that, I think, that really annoyed the Russians extremely. And of course, there's the policies that the Tsipras government played with North Macedonia, and with all of that, with expelling Russian diplomats and all that sort of thing. And unfortunately, and it is a fact, when the Russians get angry with Greece, it's Cyprus that pays the price. It's the two countries, Greece and Cyprus, are so connected to each other that the Russians say to themselves, if Greece isn't friendly to us, neither is Cyprus. And again, Cyprus pays the price. So Cyprus is losing that Russian support, which it formerly had. And to be very clear, there were other things. I mean, Cyprus came under a lot of pressure from the US to divest itself of its connection with Russia. There was lots of pressure, on ending, the Russian financial presence in Cyprus. There was lots of talk from the European Union about, how Cyprus was acting as a laundry for dirty Russian money. Never proved, by the way, but that's what they were saying. It wasn't true, actually, not in any real sense. But They went along with all of that, and that, of course, annoyed the Russians too. So the Cypriots didn't play their cards very well. The Greeks played their cards very badly. But ultimately, and this is the overarching story, the Russian government, Putin, Mishustin, the president, the new prime minister, their priority anyway has been to get the money, Russian money, back to Russia. And it's not been at all obvious how the double taxation treaty with Cyprus, scrapping the double taxation treaty with Cyprus was obviously going to happen, given that that is the agenda in Moscow.
Yeah, I mean, I'll make one quick note. The Cyprus government under Anastasiades, they also followed the Greek line, and they just depend so much on Europe. And everything is all about the European Union and solidarity with the European Union. And the problem with the Anastasiades government, the Cyprus government, is that they are a Merkel CDU cutout. That is their problem. He is a neoliberal wannabe. He wants to sit at that neoliberal table, and he wants to be part of the Merkel crowd. That is his problem. He keeps on... And the Greek government, to a certain extent as well, though I think Mitsotakis is taking an interesting line. I'm following Mitsotakis, and he's a little more interesting. Anastasiades just follows the Merkel line, which is a complete failure, especially in terms of foreign policy. Why he follows the Merkel doctrine, I have no idea. I'm with you, Alexander. I think Cyprus did a great job of courting the Americans, which I think they should do, 70% U.S., and then 30% court the Russians. Keep a balance. The U.S. is the most important. Have really good relations with the U.S., but keep the door open and have good relations with Russia.
Yes.
Anastasiades just shut the door on Russia.
Yes.
Threw all his eggs behind, all his eggs in the Merkel basket. Mm. And the U.S. isn't too fond of Merkel either.
No.
And he ended up the big loser. That's my take.
Absolutely. This is exactly right. And of course, what we now have, I mean, quite apart from the fact that Cyprus's economy is going to be, as you said, smashed. We also have a major problem with the Turks putting the pressure on, you know, in the Eastern Mediterranean. And with Erdogan's economic problems, that's going to intensify because that's how he responds. And in that sort of situation, 5-10 years ago, Cyprus and Greece would to some extent have had Russia at their backs. They don't anymore. And if you looked at the Germans, as we've just seen with, you know, what happened in North Rhine-Westphalia when the Greek foreign minister went to meet Armin Laschet, the Germans are not at your backs. That isn't how Merkel operates. She expects loyalty. She doesn't give it.
Yeah. All right. So to wrap it up, we have terrible foreign policy from the Cypriots, terrible foreign policy from the Greeks, terrible domestic policy from the Turks, and...
Terrible foreign
who
policy.
Knows what Russians,
the Russians. The Russians.
Yeah, who knows what Russians doing?
I mean, the Russians themselves. I mean, as I said, perhaps the interesting person to read about Russian foreign policy with respect to Turkey is John Helmer, because he's always said that there is a faction within the Russian government that's very pro-Turkish. The defense minister Shoigu speaks Turkish. The Putin spokesman Dmitry Peskov speaks Turkish too, and these are very strong people. They say, you know, Turkey is the great country we must become friends with, and all of this, and it doesn't really work out very well. And Lavrov, who is going to Cyprus, apparently is much more skeptical about all of this and says, you know, at the end of the day, it isn't going to work out. Turkey is a strange place. Erdogan, at least, maybe not Turkey, but Erdogan is a very strange man. We mustn't overinvest in him. But, you know, there's this tug of war apparently going on in Moscow between, you know, the Shoigu Peskov faction on the one hand and the Lavrov faction on the other. And Russian foreign policy is getting scrambled. I mean, you know, this idea of letting your tourists go to Turkey at this time seems to me, in order to basically bail out Erdogan, seems to be a very bizarre mistake to me.
Yeah, one thing's for certain, come September, October, when the summer is over, I think every economy, including the Cyprus, Turkish, Greek, and the Russian economy, are in for a very, very rude awakening.
Well, I mean, the economic numbers out of Spain are simply horrendous. I mean, I was seeing it was an 18% drop. I mean, they're just awful. They're completely awful. Greece, Cyprus, Turkey too. Russia is a different place, but I mean, you know, the Eastern Mediterranean, the Mediterranean economies are in a mess. No question about it. We talked about Italy the other day and how it's heading towards a major financial crisis at the end of this year.
And the Italians actually make something, which is
the Italians. They are the biggest industrial base in Europe after Germany, but you know, it's not going to do them much good.
All right, we'll leave it there. You have a UK shirt on, by the way. That's a new shirt. I have my Canada shirt. I have a UK mug.
And so I believe do I.
All right.
So we're in a very UK mood. But as I said, I'm very cross with the UK at the moment. giving 10 billion to Erdogan seems to be a very strange way of doing things. That's all what right. the Financial Times says.
Mm-hmm. All right. So check out our shop, theredshop.com.
Amazing things there. Yep. Amazing things.
Description box down below. And PayPal, Patreon, Subscribestar, help support this small channel. We try to report the real news to fight the fake news. Alexander Recurs, thank you very much.